and like to we will be starting today on page 161. Page 161, and it's the first paragraph on that page, and we're in the middle of a consideration in Matthew 24, the Lord's great prophecy, and we are, of course, the chapter title is A Manner of the Lord's Return. And we're emphasizing here that the Greek word used is parousia, which we've established very clearly means present, not coming. And so in our last paragraph, it was really well stated that we were referring to Noah and in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah's presence, not the days of Noah's coming. So it really emphasized very clearly that parousia refers to presence, being with. And we are continuing from that point, looking at the situation at that time. And although there was wickedness at that time, that's not the emphasis of this note within the Lord's great prophecy about what should be expected at the time of our Lord's presence. So let's continue with our reading, and we'll have the first paragraph on page 161, it begins, "And though the people were wicked." Brother Walter, could we have you read that for us?
Yes. Am I coming through okay?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. "And though the people were wicked in Noah's day before the flood and will be wicked in the time of our Lord's presence before the hot fire of trouble comes upon them, yet this is not the point of comparison or likeness to which our Lord refers. For wickedness has abounded in every age. The point of comparison is stated clearly and is readily seen if we read critically. The people, except the members of Noah's family, were ignorant of the coming storm and unbelieving as to the testimony of Noah and his family, and hence they knew not. And this is the point of comparison. So shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. None but those of the family of God will believe here. Others will know not until society, as at present organized, begins to melt with fervent heat of the time of trouble now impending. This is illustrated by the words, as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, and marrying, Luke 17:28 adds, planting and building, until the day Noah entered into the ark and knew not. So shall also the parousia, the presence of the Son of Man, be. In the time of the presence of the Son of Man, therefore, the world will go on with its eating, drinking, planting, building, and marrying, not mentioned as sinful doings, but as indicative of their ignorance of his presence and of the trouble that will prevail in the world. This, then, is our Lord's answer to the question of the disciples, what shall be the sign, indication of thy parousia, presence, and the end or harvest of the age? In substance, he says, there will be no sign for the worldly masses. They will not know of my presence and the new dispensational changes. Only the few will know, and they will be taught of God in a way not here explained, before there is any sign, indication, which the worldly could discern. I think you're still muted, Brother Bill.
Thank you, Brother Walter. Any thoughts on your own as you were reading through this?
I think the brunt of the paragraph is that everybody was just carrying on like normal and oblivious to the thought of the coming flood, even though Noah was a preacher of righteousness, they fell on deaf ears. It seems like maybe an indication of the farness into the age that we are, seems like more and more are, as that previous verse in Matthew says, they shall see the Son of Man coming in power and great glory and so forth, indicating that they're recognizing something not so good is coming upon the present order. And it seems like the Armageddon process, even in the words of the world, are coming close. So, but the main thought is here that not the evil or so forth of the day, but the obliviousness to the facts. Over.
Okay, thank you, Brother Walter. Really good point that you bring up here, that as we get further and further into this age, the world is recognizing the trouble more and more. And well, I'll leave it at that. I think that's a really insightful thought. Thank you. Let's open this up for thoughts. Anything in the paragraph that Brother Walter lived, anyone would like to amplify? And there's a hand from the Gutu home.
I just came into possession of Adam to Zion book last week after the meeting, and went home and found lesson 88, and this paragraph says, the lightning referred to in Matthew 24:27 is from the Greek word estrope, which can be translated bright shining. Since lightning actually gives little light, the reference is to the sun, which floods the earth with light as it progresses from east to west. So the Son of Righteousness, Jesus Christ, will shine into all corners of the world, bringing to light the hidden things of darkness and revealing the truth on every subject. And I was just so, it was just beautiful how I was led to this and how I've just been led along. And I just see how when you let the Spirit guide you, like Noah did, he was the one that was receptive to the guidance of the Spirit. Also, I found this, the ability to discern spiritual things must depend on the extent to which our minds are controlled by the Spirit of God. And that was from reprint 21. And so it just all goes along so well when you let the Spirit lead you. It just lets you go in the right direction when you have the right heart condition. And I just all goes together so well, and I'm so very grateful. And I think that's all. Thank you. Over.
Thank you, Sister Amanda. I think you have discussed something that I feel for those that are led by the Holy Spirit, as you bring out. One of the greatest signs for us is that increasing light, that increasing understanding of the truth of God's plan. Thank you for that comment. Yes, Sister Robin, over to you.
Yeah, I wanted to read the scriptures in Luke. It's quoted on Luke 17:28, but I'd like to read Luke 17 verses 26 to 30. So I think it really describes not only the event of Noah, but also other times when people really weren't paying attention. So verse 26, and just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it shall be also in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Verse 28, and it was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, and they were building. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, and thus they destroyed them all. In verse 30, and it will be just the same as in the day that the Son of Man is revealed. So I think it really shows that you have to be looking to understand what the Lord is showing us. You can't just think everyone will understand. And like we discussed, this ark was big. It wasn't hidden. It was very, very obvious. If people wanted to ask more questions, what are you doing? And they chose not to. So I think there's many, many of the signs that we can see today that are showing the presence of the Son of Man. But you have to want to understand. Over.
Such a very pertinent insight that we have to watch. I was thinking of the parallel to his ascension. There were just a few followers watching as he ascended in a cloud. And it's true at his return. There's just a few followers that are watching when he returns and are aware. And, yeah, very good expression. Thank you, Sister Robin. Sister Donna.
Psalms 82:5. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. The first part, they know not, neither will they understand. And then in Psalms 104, verse 3, there's a phrase that says, he maketh the clouds his chariot. That they see the trouble, but they don't understand why or who's doing it. We know the Lord is at the helm and that these things are according to his direction at the presence, at his presence. Thank you.
Okay, excellent. Excellent text from Psalms 82:5 and Psalms 104:3. Thank you, Sister Donna. Really speaks to that when it says, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. From the tower connection.
I just wanted to emphasize for some that it's coming up in the next couple paragraphs, but that verse 29 where it says fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all, that was literal at that time, but the antitypical significance is symbolic.
Okay. The symbolic understanding of the rising of the sun, the light increasing. Brother Jerry, your hand is next. Over to you.
Well, Brother Bill, the point of this these paragraphs discussion is that as in the days of Noah, the population was unaware. And that's the parallel with our times. And yet it is, and And as Sister Amanda mentioned, that the watchers with the Spirit of the Lord would see more clearly. And yet it was not the mission to convert the world, either in Noah's day or Lot's day, or really even in Jesus' day, to try to open up the eyes of everyone, because a day is coming in which that will be possible. But during the transition times, there was all, in any of those examples, a few. Even in Jesus' day, there was the 12 disciples, apostles. There was those at Pentecost, and even measured in thousands would not be so many compared to the world. But I was thinking of two texts when they will know. In the days of Noah, they knew not. But there's coming a time in Jeremiah 31:34, and it's quoted in Hebrews 8:11 also. But Jeremiah 31, verse 34 says, "And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." And then Apostle Paul quotes that in Hebrews 8:11. So just want to compare the sense in which there's a time which the population do not know, but there's coming a day when all shall know, from the least to the greatest. Over.
Okay, thank you, Brother Jerry. Good tie-in there with Jeremiah 31:34. And they will all know me. Another hand from the Good to Whom?
It's me, Brother Bill. Also in the days of Paul, he went and preached to the Romans and said to them, you worship like the moon, you worship the stars, you worship these other gods, but you really don't know the Lord. And in 2 Peter 3:16 it says, and also in all of his letters, speaking to them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. So if they don't understand the truth and they give their own interpretations, that's one of the reasons why the Lord has an admonition for us that we should not add to the scripture or even detract from it, and we should stick to what the scriptures say.
Okay, very nicely expressed. Sister Chris, appreciate that comment.
Margaret.
And Sister Margaret.
Yes, staying in 2 Peter 3, on the thought of the symbology, that's not the right word, the word that Sister Stephanie used, typical, that's still not right, but excuse me, 2 Peter 3, 12 and 13, looking for and hasting unto the parousia, it is, of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and elements shall melt with fervent heat, and it would be the ecclesiastical heavens, I believe. But the thing is, 13, nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So it gives the literal aspect then in the next verse. And then I also like in Psalm 46, verse 9, Psalm 46, 9, he maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. And then it's, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. So it shows after that symbology, the literal beauty of earth and, that verse 13 of 2 Peter 3, it speaks about dwelling in righteousness. Well, like it be mentioned, that Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and that's going to be effective eventually. Thank you.
Okay. That 2 Peter 3 text is so good. And also the Psalms 46. Thank you, Sister Margaret. I'm looking up a text here. Brother Bill Facker put in the chat Isaiah 11:9, and they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. The earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the water covers the seas. So this is looking forward to a time when the Spirit of the Lord is poured out on all flesh, and they will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. Thank you, Brother Bill, for that, Isaiah 11:9. Sister Donna.
I think this paragraph is really bringing out, again, that at the return of the Lord, unless you have been begotten of the Spirit, you're not understanding what's going on. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. I think that's really what the paragraph is bringing out, that this time of the Lord's presence, there would be this, they just don't understand because they don't have the Spirit of God.
Yes, yes, very good. That runs very parallel with Sister Amanda's thought that it does require the begetting, the indwelling of that Holy Spirit for us to understand these, and your text really emphasizes that. Another hand from the Gutu home?
Yes, Brother Bill, it's me. The other Sharon. Sister Margaret had read 2 Peter 3:13, but I think we should read the 14th verse, and I don't know if Sister Stephanie still has her Diaglot, but I'm going to read it from King James, and if she has her Diaglot for 2 Peter 3:14, maybe she could read that. And then I have a second verse. But 2 Peter 3:14 says, I'll go back and read 13 again that Sister Margaret was speaking of. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, it doesn't say here that the earth is going to be taken away. It just says the new part of the earth. And then for us in 14, still in 2 Peter 3, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blamelessness. Now, that is the 14th verse that goes along with the 13th. And then back in our Matthew 24 text is the thought of
Nevi'im. Nevi'im, 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 Nevi'im.
Did you want me to go ahead, Brother Bill? Oh, okay. Then back in Matthew 24, it tells us that, starting with 39, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. There shall be two in the field, that one shall be taken and the other left. So it'll be the one that is have the knowledge of what is happening, and that will be taken. There won't be literal literal taking. It's their spirit, their new creature that will be taken. Anyway, or that's what I'm thinking. And then maybe a sister, Stephanie wants to read that, one in the Diaglot that I mentioned, for 14 of 2 Peter 3. Thank you.
Should I go ahead?
Okay. Thank you for the Matthew 24 tie-in. That only some will be ready to respond to our Lord's presence. And the Matthew 3:14, do you have that in the Diaglot, Sister Stephanie?
She's asking, she said 2 Peter 3:14, is that what she's looking for?
Yes.
Therefore, beloved, looking for these things, diligently endeavor to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless.
Okay. Thank you. Similar translation.
But the point was, Brother Bill, that found by him, and that went back to the Matthew 24 about one in the field and be taken, is where I was going with that. Over.
Okay. All right. Good tie-in, Sister Sharon. Thank you. And is this a new hand from the Gutu home?
I appreciate the question of 2 Peter 3:14. What I have gotten, and it just, I think, beloved ones, since you are weighing these things, do your utmost to be found finally by him, spotless and unblemished and in peace. Also, I was thinking that a question was raised at the last meeting about what about the great crowd. I feel like with knowing that the people were attending to their business, it means that they're okay. They're not worried about it, so they're going to be okay, and it's, so they're just carrying on, and they're not the ones that are concerned, they're helped in that, and Jehovah's not a God who wants people to be tormented. So if they are in the right heart condition, then they will find a measure of comfort. Thank you.
Making a distinction between among the spirit begotten, that there are some who are lacking in diligence. I'm trying to focus in. Oh, it's the verse that Sister Sharon brought out in 2 Peter 3:14, where it says, "Be diligent that ye may be found in him." And some may be lacking in that diligence. Thank you for that that emphasis on the importance of diligence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I know.
Sister Rosemary, I apologize for sometimes it's hard for you to understand, and I'm not sure we can fix that. Every microphone is a little bit different, and so we hope you can bear with us. But we know that some of the sound is probably hard for you to hear. Okay. Let's go on to the next paragraph, and this ties in, brings out a little more from Luke. Luke doesn't use the word Pharisee, but the essence is still there. And let's see. Sister Sharon Fifield, could I have you read that paragraph for us? And it begins Luke's account of the same discourse.
Yeah, it discusses the verses that Sister Robin so kindly read for us earlier. Luke's account of this same discourse, Luke 17:26-29, though not in the same words, is in perfect accord. Luke does not use the word parousia, but he expresses this exact thought, saying, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man, in the days of his presence, not before his days, not after his days, but in, during his days. The world will be eating, drinking, marrying, buying, selling, planting, and building. These scriptures, then, clearly teach that our Lord will be present in the end of this age, entirely unknown to the world and unseen by them.
Any thoughts as you were reading through this, Sister Sharon?
Well, again, we're still talking about the presence. And as you said, the parousia is not used in these verses, but it is alluded to when it talks about that the world will be eating, drinking, marrying, etc., and just going on with life, but they're not aware that the Lord is here present at this time, at this end of the age. He's entirely unknown by them. He's unseen by them. They just have no clue. That's all. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Good summary. Thank you, Sister Sharon. Brother Walter, we see your hand. Over to you.
It's interesting, the italicized portion of, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man, that it's a good definition of parousia here, that Noah was present in the days of Noah, just as the Lord is present in the days of the Son of Man. So another parallel there. Over.
Okay, nicely explained. Thank you, Brother Walter. Any other thoughts on this paragraph? It's pretty straightforward. It doesn't need the word parousia because it says in the days of Noah, paralleling in the days of the Son of Man. Okay, let's go on to the next paragraph. And Sister Robin, I think I'll have you read this next paragraph. This is the second paragraph on 162, though there shall never be another flood.
Though there shall never be another flood to destroy the earth, Genesis 9:11. It is written that the whole earth shall be devoured with the fire of God's jealousy, Zephaniah 3:8. Not the literal, physical earth in either case, but the existing order of things in both cases. In the first instance, accomplished by drowning of all the people except Noah's family, in the last, by burning all except the family of God in the symbolic fire, the great time of trouble of the day of the Lord. The faithful children of God shall be counted worthy to escape all those things coming on the earth, Luke 21:36. Not necessarily by being taken away from the earth, but possibly by being rendered fireproof, as in the typical illustration of the three Hebrews who walked in the midst of the fiery furnace, heated seven times, on whose garments even not was the smell of fire, because one like the Son of God was present with them. Daniel 3:19-25.
Okay, thank you, Sister Robin. As you're reading through this, anything you'd like to highlight?
Well, the main point is the destruction during the time of Noah was a flood. And it's in the time of the end, it's fire, but the fire is symbolic of the time of trouble. We sort of discussed about seeing the Son of Man coming in the clouds, which is the trouble. So it's not a literal burning, because we have scriptures that says the earth abideth forever. Over.
Okay. Yeah, I know a lot of Christianity feels that it's going to be a literal fire, and it's so refreshing to know that it is symbolical and that it's the order of things. Thank you, Sister Robin. Let's open this up for any other thoughts or questions on this paragraph. Luke 21:36 is a key text here, and it's an admonition to us. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. So, I like the thought here of being rendered fireproof. Brother Jerry, we see your hand. Over to you.
Brother Bill, I appreciate the thought of the world representing society, or Brother Russell says the order of things. I think not only, a lot of Christian thinking is very ominous about this destruction, and some who even feel that the world may not burn up with fire have this terrible feeling that there's going to be all kind of death and destruction, and some call it second death for all those that are non-believers. It's very vindictive type of punishment. The order of things is the present evil world with its institutions. When the war machines are passed away, when the false legal systems, false religious systems, false political systems are passed away, I think this constitutes the old order, the order of things that have prevailed through the centuries. And the new order will be an order of righteousness. And so people that live through this transition time will have their hearts and minds restored to clearness, and those returning from the grave will have an opportunity to learn righteousness. So I just cannot emphasize enough that it is the old order that has not served mankind very well will be replaced by a new order. And it's represented in Revelation 21 and 22 as a new order coming down and blessing mankind. Over.
Thank you, Brother Jerry. Really good emphasis on the order of things that will be undone and replaced by a righteous order. Thank you, Brother Jerry. Brother Walter, we see your hand. Over to you.
Well, just a couple of quick thoughts. The fire on the three Hebrews, the only thing being burned was the cords that bind them. And, with us, when we receive the experiences from the Lord, it gives us a freedom and a greater ability to express the Lord's will, and takes the cords of fear and so forth away. And the smell factor there, that not even the smell of smoke, that the only smell that, Lord willing, we will have is that same fragrance that Mary put on the Lord's feet, sweetness and beauty of character rather than any hint of destruction or things like that. Over.
Thank you, Mother Walter. That's such a delightful tie-in to the experience of the three Hebrews, as will be our experience, but also the experience of the world. I see a hand from the Gutu home.
Can you hear me?
Yes, good sound.
I was thinking that in Zephaniah 3:8, where it says that I'll gather all nations that I may assemble the kingdoms and pour upon them mine indignation, upon all my fierce anger, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. But then we know that this doesn't mean the earth is going to be, and the people are going to be destroyed forever. Because the next verse says, for then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. So the fire is going to burn up the trouble. It's going to destroy the evil social order. We see so many problems. They'll be destroyed. The problems will be destroyed, but the people won't be, because the Lord says this. He's going to pour upon them a pure language, the truth, and that they will all call upon God and serve him. So the trouble doesn't end everything. It's just going to destroy the present evil world, the evil. And then the Lord will pour out on them the truth. Over.
Thank you, Sister Alice, for Zephaniah 3:8 and 9. And it shows, and I love these prophecies that show the destructive aspect of the Lord's, I guess, jealousy or anger. But then it follows it with a recovery and a replacing of that old order with a new order based upon a pure language, an understanding of God's truth. Just an excellent emphasis. Thank you, Sister Alice. Hand from the tower connection.
I have a note from my Bible, from a reprint article on that, where it says, then will I turn to the people of pure language. It refers to 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19:11-12. And I really like this because it talks about the trouble and about gathering the nations and assembling the kingdoms and pouring all this trouble out, and then also refers to the pure language that comes after. 1 Kings 19:11, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So this is the pure language that comes after the trouble. Over.
Excellent tie in there. I really love the 1 Kings 19:11 and 12 context in this connection. Thank you for bringing that out, Sister Stephanie. Sister Donna.
I was looking at the last part of that paragraph, that the Lord's people and their position in the trouble. Psalms 46 is so encouraging because it starts out with, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And then it goes on in the verses to show the trouble. And then the heathen raged in verse 6 and verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And then it goes down to 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth, showing that the trouble will result in God's plan for all people. Thank you.
Okay, excellent. Psalms 46, very good tie-in. God is our refuge and strength, very present help in time of trouble. Thank you, Sister Donna. And I see another hand from the Gutu home.
Yes, Brother Bill, Sharon again. Also following up with the same thought that Sister Donna had, following through on that Luke 21. But I went to Malachi 3, 17 in connection with, the things coming upon the earth and who's going to escape it. And, so it's Malachi 3 verse 17. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. So this is the word spare here in Leser says deal tenderly. So I thought that was good. And then if anybody wants to look at him, number 67 sometime, I thought that went well with some of the thoughts in hymn 67. Go along with this verse. Over.
Okay, thank you for the reference to the hymn 67, and the Malachi 3:17 also ties in very well. Sister Robin, we see your hand. Over to you.
Yeah. Since we're talking about Noah, there's another scripture, and I like it. It's Isaiah 54, and it's verses 8 through 10. And it's sort of explaining why there was some judgment that was given. And I think that's really important because it shows it was for a purpose. And the same thing for the trouble now. It's all for a purpose, like we've been talking about for God's kingdom. So verse 8 says, this is God speaking, in an outburst of anger, I hid my face from you for a moment. So very time sensitive for a period of time. But with everlasting loving kindness, I will have compassion on you. I love that. The everlasting loving kindness, says the Lord, your Redeemer. Verse 9, for this is like the days of Noah to me, when I swore that the waters of Noah should not flood the earth again. So I have sworn that I will not be angry with you, nor will I rebuke you. Verse 10, for the mountains, and I think that's symbolic, of nations, for the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you. So he's speaking directly into Israel, but it's so beautiful, God's everlasting kindness, and that's what he wants us to remember, that all of this is for a purpose of bringing Israel closer to the Lord, the whole world, and mankind to the Lord. And we're a privilege to understand this. Over.
Such a beautiful text to tie in here. I really appreciate this. And, of course, this is my favorite word, hased, that everlasting kindness, and also that mercy I'm pretty sure that's a set as well. So to realize the Heavenly Father's overarching love in this entire process, including the trouble, because we see the results of it. Thank you, Sister Robin. No, that final word, mercy, in the 10th verse is not chesed. I thought it might be, but it's not. Okay, we are very close to the end of our time. Brother Walter, over to you.
The loving kindness of our God reminds me of that Zephaniah 2:3. I think that could be applied to the church especially, but also to those who have a good heart in the world. And their heart and trust in the Lord shields them from a lot of pain and anguish and so forth, because they're not so tied into the present order that's going down. But again, they have a good heart, leaning in the right direction. But Romans 8:28 to us, for we know that all things work together. The world doesn't have that solid knowledge, but the Lord is kind enough to watch over those with good hearts. Over.
Okay, thank you, Brother Walter. Really good text. I like that Zephaniah 2:3 especially.
Time.
Okay, and the Romans 8:28. Zephaniah 2:3 was one we're familiar with. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness, that it may be hid in the day of the Lord's anger.
Where do we start the next one?
All right. So we'll conclude at this point, and we will pick up next time on I think it's the top of page 163, so it'll be 163, the first paragraph on 161.
163?
163, in first paragraph next time.